The following message was recorded on January 19, 1980 at the Seattle Conference. The message is entitled The Life of Jacob by John Frith.
I'm enjoying a verse in Psalms 146 which says, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah, his God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah his God. We're meditating a little on the life of Jacob, which I believe can be a help especially for those who are younger with it. Reading first of all here in chapter 27, And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I hear thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, I would like to notice a few highlights or a few crises in the life of Jacob. We have him here with his family. It's very, very sad to see this family of Isaac. We have, first of all, the father, Isaac. And one might speak of him here, especially in this chapter, as a carnal Christian. There doesn't seem any spiritual exercise in regards to Isaac at this time. First of all, for the simple reason, it says that his eyes were dim, and he said he knew not the day of his life, the day of his death, and he had a love for venison, and he sends his son out to get some venison. In other words, he was a man given at this time to self-gratification. Very, very sad condition when one gets into this condition of soul where there is self-gratification and the things which belong to God are let slip and are set aside. Then we have Esau. Esau was a natural man. In a previous chapter, he lost the birthright. And we see here he had married Canaanitish women in the next chapter. He had no spiritual insight, but he was willing to please his father. Then we have Rebekah. Rebekah had a certain amount of spirituality. She knew that Jacob, in the purposes of God, was not only to receive the birthright, but he was to receive the blessing. He would receive the blessing. And I believe that we might say that in Esau and in Jacob, we see in Esau, the one who was born first, but he wasn't the firstborn. First of all, we have the flesh, that which speaks of the flesh, and then we have that which is spiritual. And then, of course, we have Jacob, whose name means supplanter, or he who would trip up, and we see Jacob, although he had got the birthright, and he certainly was one in the blessing, he was one who had an appreciation for the blessing of God. And I would like to encourage those that are younger to have an appreciation for the rich blessings which we have in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the rich portion which we have in him, and the joy and satisfaction that we're able to have as we seek to walk in fellowship with himself. But the one thing is here, Rebecca, although she seemed to realize that Jacob was the one who was to receive the blessing, she went about it in a wrong way. Now, There are many, many things you know. Rome. Rome says that the object justifies the means. But the Word of God never, never does that. Never, never does that. We must do things in accordance to the Word of God. And we see that Jacob here, although he had a conscience, he knew that telling the untruth was not right, was not becoming. And you know, it does not become us to tell that which is not truthful, which is not the truth. But we see how that Jacob went along with this little scheme of his mother. What we have here, we have a very sadly divided family. Now, we were hearing a little this morning, and I believe it is a most important thing, because in many ways, that which helps to build up the assembly is especially children of the Lord's people, recently by the grace of God, and brought into the assembly. Now, it's a big help to us in Venezuela, where the Lord's people have an exercise to see their children saved, and they get saved with a background of Sunday school and the reading of the scriptures in their homes. It gives them a greater basis or a greater foundation when we see them brought into the assembly, and they often can grow up, and we have seen them growing up and being a real help in the assembly. And that is what one wants to see, especially, brethren and sisters, as we see the time fast coming to an end, how we could stir ourselves in regards to seeking to live for God. And here we see a divided family. Divided family. Very, very sad to see this. The family from which Jacob came, the family of Isaac at this time, divided like this way. The father, instead of being an example in seeking to live in a godly way, he was living to gratify himself. Esau, the natural man, with no spiritual understanding, going along with his father, and the mother, knowing that which was right, but going about it the wrong way, and we see how that Jacob went along with his mother's scheme. But we see the result was, because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, is a principle with God, and we see how that later in Jacob's life he was made to reap more than on one occasion, because of that which he had planted earlier in his life. Now, I'd like to see a little further on. This we have him, we might say, in his father's home. Then in chapter 28, we have him at Bethel. He had to flee, as we know. The story of Jacob is a most interesting story. Well known, but I've been enjoying it the last few days, and I believe there's much here for us, even if there are things which we have heard many times. It seems to refresh one's soul to read a little of the life of Jacob, and I believe there's much for us in it. We have here in chapter 28, we have Jacob at Bethel. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went unto Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, we have an experience at this point in the life of Jacob, which Jacob never forgot. Jacob never forgot this experience of his dealings with God himself. When I was first going to Venezuela 31 years ago, I was down here to Seattle for a few days, and I remember leaving Seattle, at the Old Hall on Roy Street. If I remember correctly, our brother, Mr. Matthews, said to me, John, he said, what you need is God. What you need is God. And brethren, I believe that's what we need in the assembly today. We need God. And that was what Jacob learned here. That was what Jacob learned. Came to realize it, and he needed God. He needed God. He needed God. It's not a case of salvation here. Thank God for that. But it's getting to know God. Getting to know God. Having a personal experience with God himself. And it was a thing that will change one's life. Now, Jacob had a lot to learn. And you know, there's nothing like the school of God for learning the right ways of the Lord. And they like the school of God. And Jacob lights on this place. In fact, several times he speaks of it as the place. And Jacob, it made that impression upon him that through his life he never forgot that place until 28 years later we find him, he comes back, he is told to go back to Bethel, back to the house of God, back to where he had dealings with God, where he got to know God, and the Lord promised to preserve him and keep him and bless him. So we see, he lights upon this place, it was a certain place, and then he had a vision of a living God. It says here, I think it's three or four times, you have this little word, behold. In verse 12, it's, behold a ladder. And then, in the same verse, it's behold the angel. And then in verse 13, it says, behold the Lord. First of all, it's the ladder. Behold the ladder. And then he saw the angels, behold the angels, and then above it. And I like that expression. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Manifestation of the Lord to Jacob at this time, alone there in that lonely place. He was going on his way, but the Lord had promised to bless him and to preserve him. In fact, farther on down, we have these blessings which the Lord said to him. In fact, in verse 15, we have the first one, and it is this, another behold. Behold, I am with thee. You remember how that Moses, at the time when there was that sin, that great sin, when they had sinned against the Lord, his great desire was to have the Lord's presence with him as they would go on their journey. Because if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up him. And last night our brother Thompson was speaking from Hebrews chapter 13, where we have that expression, those words, Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have the same promise. The writer gives us the same promise of the promise of the Lord's presence with us as those Christians would pass through their Christian life, their Christian experience, the Lord's presence. So there are four things here which the Lord promised to Jacob as he has come to this place. First of all, his presence, then his protection, his preservation, and his promise to be with him. Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places. I will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. We might well say, and we can see here, that Jacob was one who was chosen. He was a chosen one. And we see how that everyone too, saved by the grace of God, has been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. What a wonderful privilege is ours of being chosen in Christ, and not only saved by his grace and chosen in Christ, and not only so, but also, being called out of the sects and systems of this world, outside to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I fully believe, as we were hearing a little of God's salvation this morning, I believe that salvation is a revelation of the Holy Spirit to the soul. And I believe that if that was more emphasized today, where there would be less of the mere false profession and this light thing that we're seeing in certain places. Some of these places now, Oh, yeah, they yes, they believe it, and there's no saying. They have these little gatherings, and they talk over the scriptures, and smoke, and do this, and that, and the other thing. Brother and sisters, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder where we're getting to. But you can never, never build up anything for God in the assembly with that kind of thing. It was a new birth. And we see here, we have Jacob who had dealings with God. And we see him here, as he leaves his place. He leaves in the full assurance that God is with him. And we later, God himself is not ashamed to be known as the God of Jacob. God of Jacob. God of all grace. And well might the psalmist say, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah his God. He is the one who is able to preserve it. He is the one who is able to preserve the assemblies in the day in which we are cast. We realize that the enemy seeks to attack that which is of God, and in many places the assemblies are being attacked. But we have the one who is able to preserve us and keep us. Then I would like to notice in the next chapter, in chapter 29, we have Jacob at Paddan Aram. So then Jacob went on his way, on his journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said of Haran, are we? And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. Now, we have an experience from Paddan Aram. We might say it's a new start. A new start in the life of Jacob. It was a time of training. Time of training. And that's very, very important in the life of the Christian. Time of training. We see him, he meets Rachel here, and he loved her. He loved her. And it's like a child of God who has a love for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. They love him. And because they love him, they are willing to do anything for him. Jacob had no problem in serving for 7 years for Rachel. For the simple reason, it was, as it were, a few days for the love which he had for her. And brethren and sisters, what is our love to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is our hope towards him, or what is our love, our affection to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? You remember how one could say, he is the altogether lovely one. Altogether lovely one. And Jacob here, he has come to this place where he remains for 20 long years. 20 years. 20 long years. Now he served for Rachel, he served for Leah. He served for the cattle and he served for the sheep. And you know, in all those years of experience, Jacob got experience at keeping sheep and keeping cattle. And not only so, he was fruitful. You see the family that he had. Jacob come into this place as a complete stranger. Isn't that? He met up with a man who was his uncle, true, Laban, who was a crafty, cruel old man, who was out to do Jacob at every turn he could. But Jacob, of course, he was Jacob. But on the other hand, one can see how that God was fulfilling his promise with Jacob, that he would keep him, that he would preserve him, that his presence would be with him, and that he would undertake for him. And dear brethren and sisters, it doesn't matter what our circumstances may be, or the places where we may be, but there's one who is able to preserve us and keep us day by day. Well, how sad it is to meet some completely discouraged because of the difficulties of the way, the trials, the loneliness, the separation, the disappointments that take place. Jacob went through these. And Jacob went on for God, even with all his mistakes and all his shortcomings. But we see him, it was a time of testing, a time of training.
This is the end of side one. Please do not rewind. Turn cassette over at this point and then resume message on side two.
And when finally he comes forth from that place as we were hearing this morning, he was a shepherd. He was a true shepherd. And one can see the need of that. Our brother said today, it's a need in the homeland, it's a need in the foreign land. It surely is. Shepherd. Shepherd. A shepherd heart. You have the idea of a shepherd. In Luke's Gospel, there, chapter 15, there's a shepherd, there's one sheep gone astray. And I have seen sometimes when there's one brother or one sister that's gone astray from the assembly, hasn't been coming from the meetings, and even the brethren will say, well, he lives so far away, lives so far away. But here was Jacob. He was the true shepherd. He had the shepherd's heart. He cared for the sheep. He said the frost was upon him at night. And the midday sun in the middle of the day be heavy upon him. And whatever was lost, he had to make it good. I don't like telling stories. Well, we have a little brother in Caracas. His name was Benito Perez. I've never seen him on a platform. I don't think he could get on a platform. He does make the announcement. Well, the only thing he does in the assembly is he makes the announcement. But you know, in that large assembly, in what we call the Avenue of the Cemetery, and I suppose there's at least 300 in fellowship, there's not one away of our Lord's Day. But what he doesn't know where they are and why they're not at the assembly. And they happen to miss when he is not aware of it. He doesn't have a car. And getting around Caracas is not getting around our city in the north. For it's a city set in mountains. And you have to go into the center of the city and out the different valleys. Now there are some tunnels going through some of these mountains. But it's a difficult thing and yet he gets around. The true shepherd. Brethren and sisters, the need of shepherd. And we have a beautiful example of this in Jacob. But it was with training, long years of training, that we see Jacob as coming forth as a shepherd. Now I'd like to go on a little farther in the life of Jacob and come to chapter 29. There are two things that I would like to notice here in chapter 29. First of all, chapter 32. First of all, verse 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That is the two hosts or the two companies. And we see Jacob, after 20 long years, there in the land of Paddan Aram, with in the house of Laban, he's returning back again to his brother. And he hears of him coming. We see, first of all, the Lord gives him a little encouragement. God's host and Jacob's little company. The two hosts, God's great host, and Jacob's little company. It was a word to encourage him, for he heard how that Esau was coming with a great company against him. But Jacob was encouraged to go on, because God's host, his protecting hand, is around about him. Brothers and sisters, and those that are younger, when one feels that all is against them, there is one who is able to undertake for it. The Lord Jesus Christ. But then we come on farther on down, because we see in verse 7, Jacob was full of fear. And then, in verses 9 to 12, we have Jacob's prayer, his confession. And he reminds God of the time of Bethel, when the Lord promised to preserve him and to bring him back. In verse 12, "And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So here Jacob, he remembers the home, and he reminds God of that place where the Lord had blessed him and promised to preserve him. Let me come on farther on down in verse 22 or 23, 24. We come down to Peniel. And it says here in verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who was the one who prevailed. He prevailed over the world. He is the one who has prevailed. And we see how the letter is written to the seven churches of Israel. There's a promise given to those that are prevailed. And we see here how that Jacob, he comes down to this place. We see him struggling. The struggle, the fears, the trials, the difficulties. Oh, how much lifelike the story of Jacob is. How lifelike it is indeed. How like many of our lives, the struggles. I know many a time when there's been some serious problem in the assembly, and I'm at home at night and I'm tossing and tossing that way, and finally my wife will say to me, "Didn't you pray about it?"
"Yes."
"Can't you leave it with the Lord?"
"Yes."
"Why are you tossing and tossing and tossing?" But you know, it's like Jacob. And there was Jacob, and here he comes, he's full of fear. His brother's coming with 400. The Lord has promised to preserve them. You know, there's just Jacob. There's Jacob. With all these different. And then he prays, and thank God, brethren, even sometimes our prayers may have fear and doubts in them, but by all means we should pray and seek to lay hold upon God. Lay hold upon God. And with the result here, that we see that Jacob has come down, and we see Jacob alone again, alone at Bethel. And we see him here alone again at Peniel, which means the face of God. And it says here that the angel of the Lord wrestled with him, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And then we see how that Jacob he clung. Jacob clung. His name was changed. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And all, it's nice to see those brethren and sisters who've gone on for God through the years. I was just noticing one of our papers that we speak of is over in the railroad, working workers. It listed three sisters who passed away recently in Venezuela. And each one of them were over 60 years in college. 60 years in college. Going on for God all that time. Good sisters. A good testimony. In fact, one was a brother, one of the leading brethren in the Valencia Assembly. He was over 50 years. In fellowship, greatly missed by the assembly. Men and sisters who gone on for God all those years, and who are men who prevail. Here we have Jacob. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For the princes are par with God and with men, and hast prevailed. May the Lord encourage us to seek to prevail. Prevail over the many, many things, over a prayerless life. Our lack of the reading of the scriptures, feeding on the word of God. There are many other things which affect us, how we need to seek to prevail in the day in which we live. And then last of all, we might read in chapter 35, chapter 35, here we have the time when the Lord says, and God said unto Jacob, rise, go up to Bethel. 28 years have passed. Jacob has had his ups and downs. He's had his fears and tremblings, and he's had his disappointments, and he's made his mistakes. But God has ever been faithful. God has been faithful, and we see here at this time, first of all, this word, arise, go up to Bethel. Get back to God, in other words. And I believe, brethren and sisters in my heart, that that is what we need in the day in which we live. Is getting back to God. Getting back to God. There was only one way that they could get back to Bethel, get back to God. When Jacob left Paddan Aram, he didn't know that Rachel had taken some of her father's God. But the time went on when, I suppose, Jacob found them. Jacob found them. What he said, we don't know. But here, to get back to Bethel, to get back to God, where there was a need, as we have in the second verse, then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And all brothers and sisters, we can get back to God if we want to hold on to some of the things of this world, the things of time and sin. And we are, in many ways, we are influenced by the conditions which are around about us. You can't walk through a dusty road without getting your shoes dusty. But you don't have to leave your shoes that way. You can clean them off. And I believe there are these things that hinder us in the day in which we live. Hinder in the assembly. Great deal. We have a brother, and got to bear in mind, in Venezuela, with a Roman Catholic background, things are different to what they are in the North. But he has his little business, and he says, well, he can't close his business on the first day of the week because he needs to make his living. It's perfectly all right. Well, I said, well, listen, brother, if you can't close it all together on the Lord's Day, why not close it at least an hour before the morning meeting? Because sometimes he'll close it about 5 minutes to the hour. How can you come in the morning meeting and worship? You can go to hymn, all right. You have to talk, all right. You can't worship. Not worship. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's a need to put away things which will hinder us. Rise, go up to Bethel, but remember, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. And there are many things that need to be put away. Custom. That are in the world that don't become us as those who profess the name of Christ. The world's fashion, the world's mold. Many of these things which are worldly, which belong to the world, and the true child of God should have a desire to put those things away and to live in a way that is pleasing to himself. Put away the strange God. And then, coming on down to verse 27, it says here, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, which Abraham and Isaac sojourned. Mr. Newbery's Bible, he says that Mamre speaks of fatness, and we know that Hebron speaks of fellowship. And you know, if when we come to Hebron, we'll enjoy fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with God, fellowship with his beloved son. Fellowship with the people of God. And we'll be fat. There'll be satisfaction. There'll be joy and peace among the saints of God. May this be our portion. I think there's much in this little life of Jacob that should encourage and help us to seek to go on for God in the day in which we live.